Blog Talk Radio.
You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? It's, I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that.
You out here grinding for a meal so your family can eat. Holding a chopper with your boys in the street. I know that when it gets real, some hitters ride for me. That's how it's gonna be, cause I'm down with some G's. Show your grill one time for me.
Down with the trio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods.
Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master.
Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
Yo, yo, yo. 1, 2, 1, 2. It's your boy Supreme Rock Africa Sauce Garvey in the building with my co-host, the Black Socrates. You know what I'm saying? This is Mental Dialogue, Trill Spiel Sunday night. Sauce dripping, you know what I'm saying? Tonight we're going to get into a little politics. Republican, you're Republican, you're a Democrat. Well, we should just leave all that bullshit alone, man. We're going to get into it. What's up with it, my brother?
Hey, what's up, King, man? Glad to be on Trill Spill Radio once again. As we say, our sauce drips truth. So glad to get into this thing. Politics, as usual, on all levels. Everything is politics, whether people want to try to get away from it, involve themselves or not. Everything is politics.
Right.
So, you know, what better way to get into this thing than on Trill Spill Radio? Because you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you that real, man. So glad to be with you, Sauce Garb.
Yes, sir, man. We're going to get it in tonight, man. At the same time, I'm working on my end, man. So if I get lost in the sauce, just pick me up, man. But
nah, absolutely. I got you, King.
Yeah, man.
Sauce Garvey. Mm-hmm.
Man, this political thing seems to have a strong hold on our people, man.
Yeah, real talk. If we start a promotion, I say, hey, you know, people get tied into their politics just like they do their religion, as far as I'm concerned. And to be real with you, just to keep it all the way 100 with you, on the Mental Dialogue platform, I might touch politics once or twice the entire year, but mm-hmm. Hey, you wanted to tackle it head on because, you know, and I respect that. But like you said, people being attached to it, they so attached to it. You know, we try to specialize in dialogue on the platform, and I think people typically want dialogue because they're so attached to what they hear and what they believe that they won't listen to one another. And I think that's part of the problem, King, if I could say that.
Definitely part of the problem, man. You know,
I got my man Sauce Garvey trying to work it out on his end. That brother. He don't even highlight himself out there.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You was going in and out. I didn't know if you was working in the background, so I was trying to make sure we had you.
No.
Yeah, you
what I was saying was, it's election time, man. But, you know, during the time when it's not election time, man, our people go through a lot of shit, man. So, and these politicians know that. So when it's election time, man, they come with the trick bag, man, and try to come with the some shit that's going to save, or some shit that's going to calm us down, some sell us some hope. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, you know, when we go through shit during the week, you know what I'm saying? Come Sunday, the preacher man sell us hope too. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same old hustle, man. And I think that we got to, you know, a lot of our people are waking up from it, man. But then again, a lot of things need to be done. And sometimes you got to go the politic route. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a catch 22, man. And you got to be careful how you navigate, man. One of my OG, man, my teacher, man, Baba Amin, say we shouldn't vote with our emotions. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we at with it right now.
Yeah, I buy that 100%. And the trick, like you said, here's, pile of tricks. You know, people like to say that after that, you know, quite often as well, the pile of tricks. But like you said, a catch 22, the difference, because as we both agreed, the buy-in is similar to how people buy into whatever religious background. Again, and I'm not even knocking anybody who does. It's just that people lock in a lot of times without dealing with the facts or being effective, which is what you're talking about. When Baba Amin says we shouldn't vote with our emotions, you're absolutely right. Like you said, the catch 22 of this whole thing is by voting with your emotions, you're definitely not getting what you need done. But as you said, there are some aspects of politics that do matter. And so if you are tricked, as you said, to go with your emotions, then you might, quite often people do it, vote against your own interest, not even know it, and you don't learn to move in politics in the way that you need to. And that's not an easy thing to navigate, because in a sense, those who understand the game or the powers that be, whatever you want to call them, again, they're the ones playing the politics. But what I'll say in reference to that, and we'll definitely want to hear your thoughts on this, is in the instance that politics is necessary, that actually lets you know there's something serious about it, if that makes sense, because it wouldn't be no need to play tricks if there wasn't a win for somebody and a loser for somebody. You feel me? The fact that the politics are played proves there is a necessary involvement, but if we're being emotional, quite often we don't understand what that involvement should be, in my opinion.
I think the real winners is the rich elite people. And the losers is always the poor people. That's what I think. And I think that with politics, you have rich people competing for the riches. You know what I'm saying? Competing for the gold, competing for the treasure, the bounty. And that's what I think it is. At the end of the day, the poor people lose. You know what I'm saying?
And you have these
rich people or people in power who manipulates the poor. All they're doing is seeing who can manipulate the poor and get them to vote. You know what I'm saying? Into this play system. You know, trick the people into thinking that they have power with their vote. But you know what I'm saying? The game, but the rich people know it's a game, but they still play the game. It's fun to them. It's a game. And they abide by the rules and the code of it.
Right. So what I'll say to you is I think you're head on the nail as far as, in a sense, who's controlling, quote-unquote, the game. But I like to, in a sense, and like I say, and I, you know, we use that term for a lot of things, right? The game of, you know, understanding a situation, we use that term game. What I'll say is, although it is the game that you mentioned, I stand by, and kind of what I was alluding to is that the game is very real in that
right.
sense. Meaning that, right. there, again, in order to win, you must know how to play the game. And in playing that game, the fact that you can win at it already tells you there's something serious about it. Now, here's where you're exactly right, and this is how the country's set up. In a sense, it's politics. Again, politics are all around the world. Some level of it, some more formal, you know, even on the street level, there's politics, right? So politics is always a part of life, whether we like it or not. But speaking specifically here in the United States, where, you know, again, we have this, like you said, election time and these games start. Here's the bottom line aspect, which is makes you correct. From the very beginning of this country, as we know it today, you know, based on the quote-unquote Constitution and things of that nature, basically the business class has always led the way in the agenda that was a part of politics. But in order to move your agenda forward, you needed enough votes to back up your initiative, because the people, or as you say, the poor people, you know, they're making it day to day. So for the most part, you're not going to see the initiative comes from somebody who's trying to survive every day. But the business class has created initiatives. Sometimes those initiatives have been helpful to many. Sometimes it has been exclusive to just those who have the money. And we definitely see the rise of the 1% getting even richer and richer in this country versus all the other 99%, which includes poor people to those who, quote-unquote, have money, unfortunately. So I do agree that the elite has a bigger influence than us as the people do. What I would like to bring to the table, where the people have more of a shot, which is in my opinion, the area where we play the least at. Locally is where we do have the biggest shot, but we get caught up in the politics of the national, as you say, election time, when the reality is it's election time every year when you pay attention to local. But if you only get caught up in the national, which is every 4 years, which is what most people do, then you are voting with your emotions and you are being played. We actually got a call on the line, just so you know as well, just if you want to go get,
okay, yeah. Go ahead. We can go with the call, man.
All right, absolutely. For anybody out there listening online, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that number is 646-787-1691. If you call in, we will get you on.
Press 1.
Area code 682, last 3177.
So I think I was going to be $108 for my little workshop the other day.
Peace. Okay. Black Power, man. Welcome to Trill Speech.
Oh, hey, 177, are you just listening or trying to get in on the conversation? Got the background.
Man, you know, that's Bob Amin. He don't even know he on. I heard the
baby. Oh,
okay.
He didn't realize he had got on with us. All right. We'll check in with him in a second. Because I think I don't even think he realized he on. Okay. So, yeah, I was just kind of throwing out. Hopefully he'll pipe in.
Okay.
Bob Amin, if you're listening, press 1. Let us know when you're ready to get in, King. I think you might have stepped away from the phone on us. It's all good. If you're trying to get in, again, that number is 646-787-1691. And I was just putting out there, on a local level, I think the people have a chance to play. But, unfortunately, that's the one, in my opinion, local politics is where we're least – we put our least attention on. What's your thoughts on that?
I'm glad you brought that up, man, because like I say, man, you know, I was taught that you shouldn't vote with your emotions, but then again, you should not vote based on emotions either. And I think that's where me, myself, personally, I get caught up. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
I dig and understand the need for the local shit. You know what I'm saying? And if I will engage, it will only be on a local level. But then, you know what I'm saying, I be seeing so much whole shit and sideways shit with local politicians, man, especially with our people, man. I get discouraged from that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe my street need new potholes. Maybe, you know what I'm saying, we need a less school tax, a property tax in a black neighborhood. But like you say, man, I let my emotions get involved too, to where I be like, fuck this shit. You know what I'm saying? Based on the way these whole ass niggas move and operate. You know what I'm saying? So, I get kind of caught up in that in local politics, man. You know, I don't knock people who do it, especially if, you know what I'm saying, for people who's voting and knowing what's going on, really knowing what's going on and having an agenda that empowers us, and then I'm with it. But if we just, you know, voting to go along to get along just because this person's a Democrat, you know, I don't fuck with that shit either.
Well, here it is. What you're saying is actually understandable. When you're just talking about man to man or man to woman, however you want to look at it, because at the same time, you know, what I'm not saying is that the local cats ain't doing some of the same shit the national cats are doing, right? So I definitely get it on that level that, if again, politics can be played on any level. And so what I think I hear you saying is, when you see the politics being played, you know, that politician that shows up in the church, you know, that one time, you hadn't seen him in 4 years. Right. So when you see in those type of politics being played, you're just saying, why would I mess with that too? So I do get that sentiment. But where I still will challenge is, like you kind of said, if somebody's organizing for real, that's something that you could pay attention to. Basically, it's just recognizing Trill, right? So if you see Trill,
man,
that's
recently,
what it would take.
Recently, we had a local election,
okay.
Man, and a lot of the so-called activists was really active in this election cycle. I mean, it was on and popping. And, you know, different activists would get behind different candidates and, you know, trying to push that agenda and get the vote out. And you had the candidates and the nominees, man, they was out in the community, man, taking pictures and photo ops and passing out food, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the grassroots people do all year round, these people was doing it.
Right.
Right?
Elections came in April.
I think the elections was in April. And that was it, man. Nothing else. I ain't seen them. Gone.
Wow.
In the wind.
Wow.
Yep.
So yeah, what you're saying right now is something that, you know, when we, and if you're out there listening, you know, be willing to share this Trill Spill Radio with your local politicians, because what you're saying right now is what needs to be heard.
Right.
Is without a continuous touching of the grassroots. But as you say, you out there all year long. Your community matters to you all year long. So far as you're concerned, far as I'm concerned, this ain't work I could ever leave. But if you only going to show up during that time, then you, far as you're concerned, they can go back, and, you know, they can go off into their chambers and go off into the, you know, their voting, you know, chambers or whatever the case may be. If you don't see them touch you during the year, then they could be doing something good for you, but it's hard for you to trust it because why you ain't here when it matters? You know, why are you not out here
right.
finding out what our issues are when it matters? So that's something that for anybody that's even thinking about going into politics, especially local where it matters the most, you have to keep touching the people. We actually got another person trying to get in here. Let's get them on the line.
All right.
Area code 386, last 3446. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your Trill Spill on the radio this evening.
A BB Fahoney family, this Joanda Zachary calling from Daytona Beach, Florida. What's up, Big Brother Sauce Garvey and Mental Dialogue?
A BB Fahoney, hey, what's happening, sis? I see you called through.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? You want some of this splash, this drip, drip, drop. What's up,
you already
with it?
Know I want some drip, drip. you know, I wanted to add my 2 cents to the dialogue, being that.
Well, actually,
I
on the dialogue,
been...
we add 3 cents, but go ahead.
That's fine. We'll put 7 down. 7.
And hey, melanated people always got 3 cents. We ain't never got just 2 cents. You feel me?
I got
that's
you.
That's how our sauce drip. You feel me?
I love it. So, you know, discussing Unvoter, I haven't been able to watch the whole show. I was on another build on YouTube just now. But as soon as I got off, I wanted to join in and speak on this thing about voting. A lot going on with it. All I can really say is that I'm not one to be big on national elections, but from doing grassroots work in my community and just getting more entwined in the local politics, like the politics is everywhere. It's all kind of fuckery everywhere. My goal is to either push for change and appeal to the politicians who most affect my community locally, and hopefully that would push for change on a national level. Being it's like cell groups, being that you start with small cells and the smaller cells big into bigger cells. Now, if that doesn't happen, then my goal is to disrupt the system. And I mean in a very how shall I say, cordial manner, so to speak, you know?
Right.
So disrupt is that I speak very intelligently. I can be very couth. I can be very professional, but best believe that the words that are coming out my mouth are going to be words of truth and things that have to do with those aspects that affect the people that I fight for, and that's Black African people, period. I always like to say when I go into areas where there are other faces, Particularly, I just left Orlando and had this conference, which was more of a roundtable. I'm involved in an education equity lobby initiative on the state level, and it's funded by the Lutheran Church, and you know, and that's mostly white folks, right? Bill Gates is one of the sponsors of this initiative.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it don't matter. I'm about getting that bag for the community, so I know how to play my role and sit at the table so I can be fed and take a plate and a soul bowl home to the community. You get what I'm saying? Because what I plan to do with whatever resources that I can get out of it is for our benefit, period. So I always tell people, like, voting on the local level is a powerful thing. We have to be more educated on what the politics are about, especially when it comes to the local level. For instance, we get upset and we hoop and holler about the criminal justice system, right? Well, where does that actually start? So you commit a crime, or your brother commits a crime, right? He has attorneys, and then you have a prosecutor on the case, correct? Well, you know, the prosecutors are voted in on a state level.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you want to have some voice on how the criminal justice system is being effective or ineffective, then you need to be out there voting on who the hell's going to be the prosecutor or the, you know, district attorney or whatnot, because those are the people who affect us immediately. And it doesn't take but a Google and a few keystrokes. How can keyboard bully on Facebook and keyboard be disrespectful to each other, where keyboard your ass to understand who is in power in your local districts? You understand who's your state attorney, who's your district attorney, who's your prosecutor, who's going to be your judges? Those are things that are voted on the local level. So either you appeal to them and they benefit of the community, or you let them know that you will disrupt, you know? And that can be done. Like, it doesn't take nothing for someone to speak up and to rally. I mean, if you're really passionate about it. See, I'm passionate about certain things, you know? So when you want something, you'll get it no matter what. So I wanted this community garden, and you know what I'm saying? It was a lot of things against me, but I got in, got 16 of the 32 plots and sold more, because I didn't want this community garden in my community whitewashed. When I stepped on the ground, everybody white was owning the plot. In a community garden, that's supposed to help the food desert and the poor community, which is mostly black people. But you got all white people. See, I don't want no handout from you. I want to get us in there, teach us how to garden, teach us how to grow food so we can do it ourselves. And that's what I did. But I wanted that so bad. So I rallied hard for that, and I was able to disrupt, quote unquote, that little system. You get what I'm saying? So the same we have to do in just daily politics. Get in there and disrupt the system in a cordial fashion for now. For now, because we're not at that level, or we're not at the stage of readiness to disrupt it any further. But we can definitely make some waves, you know what I'm saying, getting to the tsunami. So that's just my 3 cents and a half to put on the table right there, I guess.
Word up.
Yeah, Queen, I love what you're saying. I'm sorry.
No, you got it. Go ahead. I was just walking back in the crib.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I love what you're saying, Queen. You brought a lot to the table, and I want to peel some of it back while we still got you on, just to highlight a few things that you said that, from a personal opinion, I wish more people in our community did pay attention to it. I just want to, even though you said it, I want to kind of point these things out. Like the first example of you saying how you're in that initiative and sitting down with, as you said, the Lutheran churches, kind of leading the initiative, and it's sponsored by Bill Gates. And so, and as you walk through that scenario, you are playing politics, because politics, if it had a one word definition, I'm gonna make it a hyphenated word, it would be self-interest. If it had a,
correct.
If you could look up politics and it had, if it had a one word definition, it would be self-interest. And so what you are beautifully doing by navigating politics the correct way, and correct way mean your self-interest is at the head of your decision making at all times, and nothing more, nothing less. And so what ends up happening is what you in fact called, as you referred to it as fuckery. Here's the politics, and it definitely turns a lot of people away. But here's the reality of what the fuckery is, just to explain it. Because a lot of people will just move away because they're saying, I don't want to deal with that kind of stuff. Well, really what it is because it's a bunch of people with different interests trying to move their interests. So what ends up happening is to get some of what you want, there are times where you have to give or make an alliance you wouldn't normally make in order to get your ultimate interest move forward. But I think most people can understand that. The reality is when you are locked in to party politics, then you, in fact, do not become
right.
a player. And so that's the beauty
right.
of the example you just gave of saying, hey, here's what I want, and I'm going to make some relationships that I may not normally make in order to get that. So that's the beauty of that.
Absolutely.
Other example, and one other thing I want to point out, and definitely let you jump back in, is I want people to hear, and I love your – it's a perfect example. The Queen just mentioned a community garden. So for all of the people who say, I'm not going to involve myself, I'm not going to vote, well, as she just said, based on our positioning, what happens is when you do the non-vote, then your local community, whatever comes, you almost just have to accept. Whereas I know there are people who are saying, oh, well, we could just do our own community garden. But at the level that she's talking about that was going to be most beneficial to her own community, she had to get involved in local politics. So that alludes to what, Garvey, what you mentioned in the beginning. There are aspects of politics where we need to play. And we definitely should be involved when there's something that could benefit our community. I hate to see us miss out on it just because we didn't pay attention. So I think something as simple as a community garden example that the Queen just gave is a beautiful example to say that there are reasons to be involved in politics for those who say they are not. So, again, I just wanted to kind of reiterate a lot of what you said because I thought it moves us into the area we should be in versus the emotions that Sauce Garvey opened to show that too many of us are moving in. Go ahead, Queen. I definitely pretty sure you got some response, but I just wanted to wrap all that up because you killed it.
Well, yes. So with the community garden, it was with a nonprofit that is faith-based. People who know me
okay.
know that I'm not really entwined mm-hmm. with the church, though I still am a member of a church. I participate because it is a family thing, has nothing to do with me
mm-hmm.
loving Jesus Christ or nothing. And actually, my pastor has really good things to say. So, you know, like Sauce Garvey, my big brother, had taught me a long time ago, you eat the fish and you spit the bones out. That I do. Back to the garden, though, being that it was a faith space, and this was a white church, particularly with a dark-skinned Puerto Rican at the head of it. It was in my neighborhood, a neighborhood I was particularly predominantly Black, on the cusp of being in a poor white neighborhood. So when I started getting into some of the local politics, one was the Volusia County Heat, which is a health advisory board on the county level. And, you know, by getting involved in local politics, you learn a lot what's going on. And mm-hmm. I advise people, it don't matter how much money you make. I don't make much, My living is very, very, very humble. A lot of adversity I've overcome with having a college degree, you know, but it does not stop me from wanting better for my people. That's what I want. I want my people, Black African people particularly, to be in a position where they can evolve, to be in a position where they are taught the truth and facts about our history, that it's not romanticized, whether it's good or bad, so we can formulate advantageous solutions to the problems that we're facing. So once I met this gentleman, Miguel Rodriguez, who was over Derbyshire Place, you can look it up on Facebook if you want to see some of the work we're doing. He was at the Volusia County Heat, and he was talking about this community garden. Well, my nonprofit, along with the founder, Rail Black, we wanted to do one years ago. We also got with the Black-owned business, Project Vineyard, which I like to say that I'm a 25% share partner in right now, which is a for-profit, mm-hmm. but we go and do backyard gardens for people in dilapidated areas and mostly Black communities. I mean, that's what it's about, empowering our people. We could never find land and space to do it. And Community Healing Project was really small and very new. So we was climbing a slippery slope. because we were an RBG affiliate, and again, Niggas with Attitudes was like the original name, we put Community Healing Project, so we would not be cut off at the throat. You understand? Yeah. Trying to come into
that's,
a community.
That's
not,
politics. That's playing politics correctly.
You're right, but it's politics to, you know, again, in the interest that are, I mean, in a self-serving interest for Black African people in this community. Because as you understand, the people that's cutting us off at the throat, they're not necessarily white people. They're necessarily people that look like me. You know what I'm saying? And still doing it. So for me, because I have no children, and I don't mean to say this brutally, but I'm being brutally honest. I don't have any children of my own particular. I have godchildren. My mother died about 5 years ago, okay? I do have an aunt who is a staple in the community. She taught math for 40 years, extremely brilliant woman, but she knows my heart and she understands. So her own legacy stands on its own. There's nothing I can really do to shame her. You understand what I'm saying? So when I go into circles, I clearly let people know I don't have nothing to lose. So I'm going to say what I have to say, and I'm going to do what I have to do for the betterment of my people, period. There's no apology for that. So when Miguel came and spoke at this heat meeting, and he talked about this community garden and showed some pictures, I was in awe because I'm like, damn, we've been trying to do this for like 2 years, and, you know, we can never find a space to get someone to dedicate the space. But, of course, with this political affiliation and his church affiliation, you know, like, you know, shit be handed to him on a platter. So I realized, like, damn, that's Derbyshire place, but, you know, the church that's over it and the board members are from Port Orange. Port Orange here is like a lily white community. Lots of rednecks live there. Even though it started off as a Black township establishment, we're gentrified out, but that's what it is. A lot of the, you know, super rich rednecks or whatever move out to Port Orange, and this church is definitely predominantly white. We have a few, you know, minorities, Black or Hispanic, but it's predominantly white, but Derbyshire is a predominantly Black neighborhood. So he mentioned about a work day, and I was like, damn, it wasn't even about the garden. It was about, one, I can get involved with the community garden and let me see what's going on so I can figure out how to get one for us, by us. So I went to the work day, and that work day, the foundation had been laid, the fence had been built, but that day we were building the plots, actually. And it was a lot more work to be done. So I went to that work day, and ever since I've been a part of the garden. Some people started with me that looked like me, but mostly it's just me. I mean, it's still, you know, ran by people who don't look like me, but when people think about Derbyshire Place Community Garden, they think about me and my name coming up because I put in so much work. You know, sweat and tears. I haven't shed no blood for it, but, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And the reason why I did that, because, one, you have to lead by example. You know, people see you doing it, they'd be more inclined to join in instead of you just talking about it. And two, I wanted people that look like me in the community that that garden is serving to be actively involved. You understand what I'm saying? I did not want it to be whitewashed and, you know, just, you know, white people feeling sorry, you know, wanting to, you know, have a helping hand because of their guilty conscience or whatever. I'm not saying that some of the white people don't have good intent, but a lot of times it deals some BS, and I ain't with that. Like, we don't need no pity, you know? We need to be taught and educated properly, that's all. So in the manner of me getting involved, I built some trust, I built some relationships. Any of these agencies that I would need in the future to start my own community garden, I was able to build trust and relationship with. To move further, I am one of the facilitators of Derbyshire Place Community Garden. I have been asked to join the board of directors for Derbyshire Place Community Center, period, which I initially declined because it is a faith-based. I didn't decline as like, no. I declined like, let me think about it, because I also know that my personal interests are much different, and also know that these people are going to start digging. And they do things on purposely. Like, I have a great mentor who, she basically walks me through some of these city politics. I mean, Daytona is small, and let me tell you, the nonprofit community, it's a dirty, dirty business. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just,
oh, I already know.
And it's dirty,
know.
Dirty, dirty.
I want to step in right quick. I want to step in and say this. You know, I think that, you know, what you're saying is correct. So to sum it all up, we need to sit down,
those of us who are grassroots with a legitimate platform and a legitimate, what's the word I'm looking for?
Agenda. You're looking for agenda.
Agenda for the people. Yeah, we can sit down and we can put forth our own candidate, our own politician with our type of politics and understanding, but on a local level. But if that's not done, then that's where the problem comes in. That, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, absolutely. You got to get in. You got to move. You know, that's what politics is. You got to get in. You got to move. You got to shake, and you got to play a sucker to catch a sucker. You got to play dumb to catch a dummy. You know what I'm saying? And I dig that. I understand all that, man. So yeah, if we do that on a grassroots level and we get out and we groom our candidate to right. feed our agenda, I'm always with it.
It's sticky because, yeah. you know, in Daytona, you know, our mayor is black, Derrick Henry. And for a while there was things going on and people was bashing him. You know, he ain't doing enough. But when you really get to understand politics, local politics, see, the mayor is not necessarily the leader. It's the city manager. And again, it's like you got to really understand the inner working of politics or government, you know.
Uh-huh.
The city manager is really the one that.
No, absolutely.
Go ahead, brother.
But yeah, like I said, I love your example. I mean, the specifics, I think it was worthy for people to listen. Like you said, again, I thought the example was great just because it took all of that just for you to be involved in a community garden. So I just think it brings, again, to the table, you know, for people to understand. And again, I'm saying this mostly to those who say the process is not helpful. And I'm saying, unfortunately, to get things done, there is an involvement that you have to be involved in, particularly the way you just laid out and the way Sauce Garvey just gave us kind of the wrap of everything. But thank you so much for your call.
Man, I appreciate your drip and your mm-hmm. trill spill, Sister Zachary, man.
Absolutely,
you know,
fam.
You put a lot on the plate that we gotta sift through. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you calling in and supporting, Queen. You already know how we rocking.
Already.
You come to Atlanta, I'm trying to meet you in a couple months. Just throwing it out there. All right, Queen. Let's see if Baba Mean still trying to get on, or you just listening to your phone. Baba Mean, you over there?
Peace. Black Power.
Peace and Black Power, man. Western the trio spiel, man. What's happening, man? You got some drip?
Man, you know, I stay saucy.
Right on. Right on, man.
I keep the drip.
What you got for us tonight, man? Democrat,
man.
Republican, stay away from it, or is it a fourth option?
Man, there's always another option. You know what I'm saying? Neither party is a party for black people. Every party is just looking to exploit you. I mean, they exploit their own people. You know what I'm saying? It's almost crazy to even have to say it now. You know, but there is no, of the two major parties, neither one of them is a friend of the black community, and no one can prove otherwise. The black community has to be its own friend. You know, if we're going to be a community or talk like we're a community, then we have to actually be one. You know, like I was listening to what the Queen was talking about with the difficulties with the community gardens. I've witnessed locally difficulties with community gardens, you know, and I see two issues. One, the mentality of those that are trying to get it done. Oftentimes, people like the idea of the garden, but we don't like to bury the seeds and tend to the garden and that sort of thing. Two, and this is probably a major one, lack of ownership. You know, I've seen groups of black people trying to plant seed on somebody else's land or finding somebody else's space or wanting the city to step in or wanting someone to step in. So how do you alleviate those issues? You know, how do you alleviate the ownership issue? You know, one of the things that I wish we would have done early on in Temple is really stress more the investment and had an investment plan to where we said, you know what, we're about to buy 4 or 5 acres of land right here in Fort Bragg. That's our first initiative. You know, we're going to buy the space. And we'll discuss what we're going to do on the space. We got to come together and we have to own our space. And you don't need to vote to own something. You just need to save, put your dollars together. and then you have ownership. Once you have ownership, you gain political power because the people who own the spaces have the power. Does that make sense?
Right on. Right on. I see it.
So, I
want to step in. Go ahead, bro.
No, go ahead.
I mean, that's with every aspect of activism that I see the problems that come up with the events, the lectures. You know what I'm saying? It's very rare that we are owning or doing the event on land owned by us. So I guess it's a problem. It's a problem. With the black community anyway, and it's going into politics, not owning shit. You don't have any leverage.
And then those of us, and we talk about this thing because we engage in this big RBG Family Weekend. One of the things that makes RBG Family Weekend unique is that we only do it on black-owned property. Now, people think that we do that because we're just trying to be pro-black. No, we're being political. I understand politically that if I'm on private property, I don't need the same permits, and I'm not required to get the same security you're required to get if you go on city property. It's that simple. See, that's politics too.
Right on.
I mean, everything is politics. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this about me.
Yeah,
everything politics at all times. So when people try to remove themselves from it, they're just gonna, get hit by the train that is politics. Politics plays out at all times. Let me ask
you
this question in reference. Let me ask you this question in reference to the land ownership, which I know you're very familiar with. This, I mean, a little less than 100 years ago, we had about 15 million African Americans had about 15 million acres of farmable land. You know what I mean? And now I'm pretty sure that number is under 5 million. So here's my question in reference to something. I'm sorry, say it again.
I said it's under 3 from what I've read.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I just thought, but I don't know the number exactly. I always exaggerate high because I don't want to give you the wrong information.
I think
that as well, but I don't remember the exact number. And so with that without question, that's what I said. I knew if I went with 5, I know I wouldn't be incorrect. But I do think you're correct. It's under 3, I think, formable. I think we may have more, but it's only, like I said, I think it's under 3 formable, which is what ultimately leads to being able to make some money on it, right, if you can farm the land. But with that said, here's my question to you. When it comes to politics, we know we also went through the historical politics of redlining, and so a lot of the neighborhoods that we are in and we complain about, politics played a role in us being in the... Hey, I'm gonna mute you real quick, Bob. I mean, while I'm asking you this question, because I know you got a lot of background, so people can.
Yeah, but I got the babies in here.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, we welcome the babies. I'm just gonna mute you while I'm asking the question. Then I'll bring you back on when I get you, ask you the question. So basically, redlining, these are all political tools that have been used against our community historically, and really up until the housing crash is when it was highlighted how much it still went on to a certain degree. And if it wasn't just his other policies, not just redlining, whether it's steering, whether they're only putting you, not showing you all the availability to you, even when you got the money. So there's a lot of policies that were used until the housing crash took place and the government started looking into these policies even more, and a lot of banks had to admit to it. Anyway, I bring all this up that I love your focus, like you said, in ownership. And when you say this term, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, when you say the term that, we don't necessarily have to vote to own, I'm wondering, I think they work so much hand in hand, and we've seen politics keep us from owning for so long, and I think it still plays a role in our ability to own. And so I wanted to hear your thoughts, and I'm going to bring you back live right now, hear your thoughts on if those two things go hand in hand, then
I think we have to own and vote
is how I would say it.
Well, no, if you own, you're more inclined. If you own, you're more inclined to vote. See, you'll pay attention you'll pay attention to a red line if it's being drawn across your property. You'll pay attention to borders when you own the land that's attached to the border. You know, I'm just saying that we place such a premium on voting in our political education. Most of us don't know what redlining is. It wasn't built in your education. You didn't learn that in high school. You didn't learn it at the voting booth. You learned it because you chose to be even more engaged in your community politics, but nobody brought that information to you. There are communities where that information is brought to people. There are communities where that information is built into their education because they're getting an ownership-based education. They're being educated to continue and maintain ownership. We are not receiving that type of education. And we,
what are we receiving?
We're receiving a slave education. We're receiving a exploitative education.
A consumer education.
A consumer education. So we're being trained. So they just say, trust us and vote that. Just check that and go back to spending your money. Check that. Go back to work. Go back to spending your money. I'll take care of all this hard stuff so you don't have to, right? And so that's what we're doing. So we just vote party politics. We vote based on who we think is president and who ain't president. You know, and act like a liberal can't be president. Like a liberal can't hate black people. You understand what I'm saying? Just because someone is liberal in their politics don't mean they love you or are concerned about your community. They might think you the scum of the earth. You know, and
here's the flip side of it, Bob. I mean, let me tell you that real quick. They can love you exactly where you at, if that makes sense.
No, I know exactly. They're gonna love you where they think you at. They're gonna love you where they perceive you to be at, right? Just like you can only love yourself where you perceive yourself to be at. You know, and so that perception is skewed in this country because we're taught to look at black people a certain way. Not just white folks, black folks are taught to look at black people a certain way. When you don't value or respect the population that you're talking about, it's hard to really advocate for them. You know, and again, I, of course I'm going to harp back on education. You know, education is politics, man. It's politics, and we have to get back to the politics of ownership. You know, and we play, everybody, go vote, but nobody say go auction, go own, go bid. Every church should be bidding on land, every one of them. The church is the perfect institution inside of the black community because we're naturally spiritual people, and it's a place where if it's led with integrity, it's where we can trust to put 10% of all of our dollars. You take 10% of all of our dollars, you buy the community, period. And if that was actually going on, more people would go to church or go to mosque or go into whatever group, Pan-African group, whatever group we're trying to build. If it's an investment group first, then it's going to last and it's going to have teeth. And it won't be can we have a community garden. It'll be presenting our community garden on our land, and we declare it's for the community, and we don't have to ask them for permission because it's ours. And now politically, the people who need votes come to you. Because if I can attach my brand to their work, I'll get in office and do whatever they say.
Strong.
I just think we put the cart before the horse a lot of times, and we've been miseducated into doing that because other people benefit. Don't think for a minute that your local politicians want voter turnout to go up. No. They don't want voter turnout. They love voter apathy. They love it. You mean all I got to do is buy 800 absentee votes for some elderly women and get 200 more people to vote, and I'm guaranteed a city council seat in a district that got 60,000 people in? You think I want that to change? That means running is going to be more expensive if 10,000 people vote. If 20,000 people vote, I got to raise more money. I don't want 20,000 people. I want 2,100 out of 60,000 people to vote so I can get 800 of them boys and get up in there. And I'm only accountable to 800 people out of 60,000. Why would I want that to change?
Let me ask you this. Something I've shared a lot of times when it comes to our community specific. I'm going to put you on mute while I'm asking you again.
Okay.
So I've quite often shared, because here's the reality, like everything that I think the sisters, Sister Zachary said, as well as Baba Amin, I think you and I both can agree they're giving us the business, right? So I was going to, I think we both.
Yes, sir, man. They definitely drop the sauce, man. And I'm listening, I'm learning, man. So yes, sir. Let's get it in, man.
Yeah, yeah. So they giving us all the game. Now, before we get off this show, then we got to bring the reality to the reality check to the table. And the reality check, and I've always understood this, the reality check is, while what they're saying is what we should be doing, we know tomorrow our people are not going to just up and do it. Even if we send this show out to all our people, they're not going to be willing to put in the work that Sister Zachary put just for her community garden. They're not putting in the work. But, you know, obviously Baba is a lifelong educator, so that's why he speaks to the education, which is what Malcolm X was doing with his first grassroots organization after he left the Nation of Islam. He basically had a leg that was going to teach the science of politics because he did understand it on the level that both of them are speaking to. But anyway, the shortness, here's something I've been trying to say to our people that I think could be the start of us feasibly getting away from party politics, which I think we all have, so far everybody that's called, we've disagreed with being locked into one party or the other. I've always said, and this is what I want you to answer, Baba Amin, I've always said that African Americans in general, we are in a unique position when it comes to the politics of this nation. Unique position in this sense. While we have been surpassed in population by Hispanics, right now we are still currently the second largest voter bloc, partly in due to the immigration issues that their community has or whatever from time to time, or some of their community has. So we're still the largest second largest voter bloc. So, like you just mentioned, that example of the politician not wanting more people to turn out for the very reason that you said, I would advocate for someone locally, a grassroots, again, us grooming a politician in a sense that will advocate so we can do it on both ends. We push the ownership, make that you're talking about, Baba Amin, but also attempt to have our politicians in there and forget whether they're D or R, because the unique position for us as the second largest voter bloc is, for close votes, we are the swing group. So we have a sense of power that right now we're not taking advantage of because we vote 90% one way. We vote 90% Democrat now. Historically, we voted 90% Republican, because they were the party that was associated with freeing us, during enslavement historically. But either way, as a group, we've been locked in one way or the other through our entire time. So I say all this to say that if we're going to learn to play, we have to push for independence, because until we get out of being locked in emotionally with one or the other, we can't even begin the deeper stuff that y'all are talking about, in my opinion. But I want to hear your thoughts on our political position right now. If we would just become political independents, we would actually have power and wouldn't need the money that other groups need, in my opinion. Your thoughts on that, Baba Amin?
Well, I would say, number one, and give thanks to the ancestors and the creator, because our history, our story really qualifies, our research qualifies what we say. I don't think I've mentioned anything that hasn't been implemented by black people before and that's not currently being implemented by black people somewhere right now. It's everybody doing it. Everybody doing it. Our job is to introduce these concepts to people. You look at Jackson, Mississippi, when Choke Lumumba and him took over Jackson, Mississippi, and now his son is the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. And the way they did it, they went into the community first. They started community forums, community support groups. They started co-ops and started buying up the abandoned property. They did all that first, and then they ran somebody for mayor, and they took over the city. It can be done. It is being done. If you look at the Malcolm X grassroots movement, they have an initiative called the Jackson Cush Plan, where, just like you say, being the second largest voting bloc, that's cool, but not if you spread out. You mentioned redlining. You mentioned the border, splitting up the districts and that sort of thing. There has to be a concerted effort to pay attention to that. Like, if we're serious, then we got to look at migrating and moving strategically to places where we become the largest voting bloc in these particular spaces. Am I making sense?
Oh, making
yes,
a whole
sir.
Lot of sense. Yeah, we definitely,
yeah. Now,
yeah, we definitely advocate migrating back to one
now,
another.
Here's the thing.
That's definitely a part.
Here's the thing, man. Water puts out the fire. It don't matter whether or not you don't like to carry buckets. And what we keep doing is because we don't want to carry buckets, we're trying to figure out how to put out the fire without water. And we keep saying, hey, nobody, we know ain't nobody going to carry no buckets. We know ain't nobody going to, we don't know what anybody going to do. That might be our own self saying what we ain't going to do. We don't know. But if we know the only thing that's going to put out this fire is water, we got to carry the buckets or we got to watch it burn. One or the other. Ain't nothing else going to swoop in, you know, and save us. You know, and so we talk about solutions and we put the solutions out there. There are multiple solutions to many problems, but there's still solutions. And we can't stop talking about it. We can't look at it like, well, this is what our people ain't going to do. You don't know what your people ain't going to do. We don't know. I don't
know. Well, yeah, I don't know if I said that. If you heard me that way, I don't think I want to throw in. I wasn't saying that as much as I was even talking. I was saying I think one of the first steps is to detach from the parties and declare political independence.
Oh,
I just think that start would help a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of,
you know,
I know I said a lot,
but, you know,
but that's,
you know,
I would say that's the start of something.
Yeah. But, you know, detaching from that party is just like detaching from white Jesus. It's just like detaching from any other aspect of this culture that we hang our identity on. You know what I'm saying? It begins with education, you know. And period. And we have to inform people where their power is. Where is your power? You know, not what are your rights. Where is your power? You know, we get caught up on rights. You have the right to vote, but what is voting power? How do I exercise my power, the power in my vote? And that conversation's not happening. We wait until 4 weeks out from the election, and then you start seeing Negroes you ain't never seen before. All of a sudden, they barbecuing and everything in the hood because they want you to vote in 4 weeks. You know, like it's just like advertising for a party. You know what I'm saying? And they want it to come off your mind after that. Political education should be ongoing. That's why, and I love the Black Panther Party, man, I do, you know, and I love the new Black Panther Party, but and I love the gun clubs and all that stuff. Popping up, that's great. It looks good. But if you don't have consistent political education attached to what you're doing, you can talk about the right to bear arms all you want to. If you don't have consistent political education going on in the community at all times, then we lose it. And that's just a conversation. That's just Wednesday night Bible. If you got Wednesday night Bible study, why can't you have Thursday night political study?
Makes sense. Makes sense.
You know,
we actually got a caller that wants to get in, Papa. I mean, I'm going to drop the caller in real quick. Nah, thanks a lot. Get this caller in here. Area code 864, last 3244. Give us your name and your thoughts on this nice trio radio.
Black power, bro.
How you doing, Ken?
Hey, I got peace, brother. I got had a little feedback. What's going on, fam? It's your brother Equal. I need
peace and
soccer,
black power.
Man.
What's happening, man?
Not much, man. What's going on with y'all, man?
Man, we just talking politics, man, politics, you know what I'm saying, just dropping some trip and some sauce on a situation here in America, man. Which direction should we go? Should we make our own direction, man? What you got for us?
Man, I don't know. It's we saw the pinnacle of politics, like I tell black folk, you know, and this was during a time with my grandmother and a lot of people were around with my grandmother, and sad to say, this was a dream of theirs to see a black president. And, you know, it's a reality when we have a black man running a system that still works in the inches of white folk. And that's what we saw. I think when we look at the script, it's still a script. So either way,
right,
it's still working in the interest of those people that have the majority of money, you know, the white power. We already know what it looks like. So at the end of the day, they go back and forth. They can have us fooled. We can go back and forth. We on one side, we on the other side, but at the end of the day, none of these sides are working in the best genuine interest of the African man, woman, and child, you know, here in America, especially when you're talking about actually coming up. You saw what happened in Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. You know, they used tax dollars to come and destroy that in which we work, you know, on building to help ourselves thrive. So I think it's a reality when we talk about what's going on in politics. And I think it's no wonder we shouldn't be surprised. You want to roll this one up? We shouldn't be surprised when we see, you know, Negroes that just, you know, take a check. You know, these Negroes are just shucking and jiving and doing, you know, what they supposed to do, you know. And
One thing I want to do, I want to get some statistics on how much Asians and Arabs vote.
Right, that's another
thing. They own a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Black Socrates, man, you my stat man. We need that. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't see them at the polls like that. But I see them running and owning a lot of shit. Right. I don't even see them talking about politics like that.
Right. So I'll tell you real quick, without being able to pull up, you know, numbers on the spot or whatever. But generally speaking, you know, having looked at some numbers in the past, but numbers mostly on local situations, and so you obviously can't, you know, use a local situation to apply it to, you know, what they do nationally or whatever. But it is pretty much understood in politics that there's typically not a lot of involvement. The places where you will see them involved are the San Francisco, some parts of New York. You know what I'm saying? The places where they are overly aggregated, you will sometimes see, you know, a little more Asian involvement. But when they're not overly aggregated, and I've had a discussion with on the Million Dollar platform with, you know, a couple of people from the Asian community. Obviously, they can't represent everybody, so I don't want to overplay that. But to even talk about, you know, why that is the case. So, yes, they do obviously come here with typically some backing and some money or whatever, and they're able to buy things or whatever. Here's how that plays out to a certain extent. So the business class, as we already mentioned, they, in a sense, lead when it comes to directing, you know, what's happening with business. And so because outside of the few communities that I just mentioned, because they are so limited in number, that they definitely, in most places, they don't see that they could be effective even if they chose to. So they stay out of the forefront. And again, it's kind of part of their culture in that type of thing, where they stay out of the forefront, you know, in a sense, with that. The one thing that I will throw out, you're not saying this, but I just want to throw this on the table real quick. The one issue for our community that makes it, because a lot of times people will advocate that the Black community should kind of follow suit with the Asian with the Asian community in general when it comes to voting. A lot of times people will advocate for that. The difference is, there are not political policies directed at harming their community, so that's why they're able to kind of skate away, be a business owner, see the policies that, you know, whatever, how to be most effective in business, and they just kind of play along, if that makes sense, because for example, I'll give you one full example of what I'm talking about. So the last time we've seen heavier Asian involvement is back during World War II, when we did have the camps and things of that nature. So they were heavily involved because there were policies against their community. But now that they're never under attack, in a sense, as our community can be sometimes with politics,
they ain't gotta be.
They're
involved.
Able to escape. And they're not, and they don't have the numbers to affect anything as a community, you know, except for in the San Franciscos. You feel me? Except for in a few places where they're aggregated. Outside of that, in their minds, they couldn't be. And they're probably right. They couldn't be effective as a voting bloc in most cities that they're in, even though, you know what I'm saying, you may see them owning a lot, again, if they do got money, right? But they're not voting number-wise, so they just kind of play along with whatever the business policies are, they play along with them. But again, they don't have to be involved, so it is a mistake quite often for our community to say we should copy them when there's policies still geared against us. One thing I would like to say to you, say your name again, King. I think I still got your name. Did I drop him? Ikwani. I think I may have dropped him by accident. Or he dropped. Maybe he dropped. Oh, he dropped himself. So, yeah, he dropped. I hope he's still listening. I was wanting to ask him, share this with him, and I just want to hear his thought because we definitely are into our extra time or whatever. But I want to throw this out. Here's a challenge when it comes to, I think, words are powerful. I know you would agree with that part, Sauce Garvey. One thing I would challenge is to start, if we're going to start our educational in politics, as Brother Bob, so eloquently said, well, one of the education is to stop even limiting self-interest to race.
Right.
Meaning,
right.
Like, you know, again, and I would love to have, you know, had him on the line to, you know, kind of throw it out and let him respond to it. But the reality is, as Baba Amin said, the elite exploit their own. So with that said, what we see when it comes to self-interest, it's not a for all white people thing. It's a group of white people got their self-interest and they finna battle it out. And if their only competition is a bunch of other white people, they'll cut their necks off too. And so I'm throwing it
exactly.
out to, you feel me, to get to, if we're going to learn to play politics, again, do we need a black agenda? Absolutely. But as Brother Baba Amin said, that may be the few of us who are going to take an initiative where it needs to be taken. At the end of the day, just like that sister said, some will take a check and cut us off, and then they look like us. So we got to get out of the racial identity of self-interest of politics and not even and stop saying it's for the politics of white people. I watch them battling it out just as equally and will cut each other's neck off over it. So that's
you see it every day. You see it every day on the national news.
Right. Exactly.
It's ratchet.
So
it's ratchet and
that,
it's ghetto as fuck.
Yes. So when you start understanding that, it's almost like we don't even want to say that the politic game is white against black. It's just we need to learn how to play self-interest with whichever tribe or whichever group with us come up with an agenda that's needed. It's really whoever will lock in and make that happen. Just like Sister Zachary said, she's lining up with some people she wouldn't even go to dinner with.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's just, you know what I mean? It's just,
I want to leave that perspective out there. Right. Man, a lot of sauce was dripped tonight, man. A lot of trill this was spilled, man. We had some good callers, man. All three of the. We have anybody else?
I think Baba Amin might be trying to get back in. Let me make sure we get him on his last thought if that's what he's trying to do. Baba Amin, you trying to get back in? Did I see that?
Yeah. But, you know, it's all good, man. Great conversation tonight. You know, just wanted to touch on the Asian and Arab involvement. Again, they get involved in their local commerce, chambers of commerce, you know, and they just cut a check to both sides. They cut a check to both sides and tell their folks, don't even bother with it. You know what I'm saying? Don't even bother with the folks. We already voted. We vote for everybody. We cut a check for both sides. You know what I'm saying? And so, but y'all inspired me, man. I'm going to do an assignment this week. And I think this is something political education-wise that would be cool to do. I'm doing an assignment at the Uhuru Academy. We're going to go on to the FortWorthTexas.gov. We're going to look at every candidate from this last election, and we're going to go look at the money. Let's see exactly where they camp, because all that's public information, right?
Yep.
So
absolutely.
You need to understand, you know, you can go find out exactly who's giving what to who. You know, for example, Deborah Peoples was the closest to upsetting Betsy Price this year in Fort Worth. Deborah Peoples raised $16,000. Betsy Price had $307,000 to play with.
Wow. Hey, let me get one last example before we get out of here, Sauce Guard. I know we're in our extra time, but I want a chance to get educated on politics. So we had this situation in Georgia. I got from a guy who actually helped this Asian group who did decide to get involved. They had never been involved, but they had finally had enough. It was a Korean group. They had finally kind of aggregated. They had all moved to this one area, and they felt like they were at a stage now where they needed to get involved politically, right? And so they approached. It was a brother that was. They were asking for advice. He was doing a lot of politics. Hold on, brother. I'm going to meet you again real quick. So real quick, so what they did, they said, well, you know, we want to try to get involved, and we know you've helped with campaigns or whatever. And so, you know, he sat back and watched their back and forth, and they were trying to figure out who they were going to go with or whatever. And so I forgot who was the Democrat and who was the Republican part of it, but what they ended up deciding, this is how they thought. So they were trying to figure out who they were going to put their money behind so that they could get involved. So what the group ended up deciding was, well, we can go with the candidate that's expected to win or whatever. They had a candidate was expected to win. And so we could put the money behind that person. And they said, but if we put the money behind the person who's not expected to win and they win, that person will now know they owe us because our voting block pushed them over the top. So they decided, and I don't know the end results, but it's the way that they didn't care about the D, they didn't care about the R. They literally said, whoever is not expected to win, if we put our money behind them and they win, they now owe us. That's playing politics. Charles, go, did I lose you?
No, I'm here. I'm here, man.
Okay,
the whole politics is real slick and slippery, man. It's all types of ways that people are twisting arms and inserting this and taking this out and manipulating this person, man, and puppeteering this person, man. It's crazy to me, man. I just kind of steer clear of the shit because it just ain't for me.
I respect it.
But
they actually got another caller. It's up to you.
Yeah,
it's up to you. Somebody else want to get in on this sauce, man. You want to let it get to them? It's up to you.
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Let's keep it rolling. Yeah, we're in our extra time. We always give a little extra time for anybody want to get in. We got 704-241. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and what's your sauce on this night's Trill Spill Radio.
My name is Crystal. I'm calling from Charlotte, NC, and I've been listening to everything.
Queen.
Hello. And I think from what I can hear based on everybody's comments and the dialogue, is that as a people, we get caught up in a politician more so than actual politics. So we know everybody, like the personalities and what people are saying and what people are doing, but we're not really caught up in their policies and what they're doing politically versus what they're doing as people and what they're doing personally. And I think that goes back to the emotion too, where we just get caught up in what's being said and not really looking at what's being done. So I don't know. I've been listening to a lot, and the politics is really tricky, and sometimes you just really don't know what to do. You don't know whether to get involved or to not get involved. It really is tricky.
No, that's real. Let me throw this out to
that's
you.
True.
Let me throw this out. This is something I've shared on the Mental Dialogue platform. I did a video some years ago. And here's just I will give you an example of, again, an approach. And it's a personal approach because it's not, like the thing you just said, Queen, is the reason, again, why people, like you say, do I get involved, do I not get involved? As a matter of fact, before I give you this example, I want to share this as well because this is something that's very real. I got a chance to meet this brother by the name of Jay Bailey. He runs this big foundation here in Atlanta or whatever, and he once said at this political meeting that I went to, and this is very real and nobody ever talks about it, but he said specifically like here in Atlanta, he says basically if $3,000, if you have some type of situation in your family that requires $3,000 to handle it immediately, and he says if you're basically don't have $3,000 liquid immediately and you have to go to borrowing or something like that to handle that situation, you are considered, what he says in this city, you're considered liquid asset poor. You know what I mean? So that has nothing to do with how much money you make or whatever, because, you know, people can make a lot of money and still $3,000 could be an issue where they have to borrow, you know, rely on family or whatever situation to handle that situation. And he said in Atlanta, I think he said the number is like 77% of the city is liquid asset poor. And he says, here's a reality for anybody in that situation. The reality is, and it's kind of what Bob Amin alluded to earlier, the reality is if that is your life situation, he said it's not realistic to expect that person to be attuned of what's going on politically. Survival is still, again, that doesn't mean, like I said, you could still be bringing a decent income. but you said that is not a, it's not a real expectation. And so you said it's because once you get above being liquid asset poor, now you're getting into the space that my mommy was talking about, because now you're probably owning assets, because these are the ways you could not be liquid asset poor, right? So you're owning assets, and now these policies matter to you because you know how they affect you. But if you're under that, you're just floating along and letting those policies affect you. So I bring that, you know, to the table to say, if you are liquid asset poor, here's a recommendation I have that I use for myself trying to be involved. And I'm saying I'm more involved than anyone else. But what I'll say is I basically have a couple soapbox issues politically that matter to me. One of them is ending mass incarceration. And another one for me is I'm an advocate for politicians who do still advocate to get the money that super PACs and stuff give out of to get it out of compact. They're out of politics. There's a big movement for that or whatever. And so basically for me, when I see a politician that advocates for that and is definitely for prison reform, I don't care what their letter is behind their name. They have a shot to get my vote. And again, I use that for before I go into the voting booth, because I still do, I use that. And there's the Women's League is a place you can go research your local politicians, to throw that out there. So I go to Women's League, and they'll basically have a summary of what these different politicians have said in their different debates. And so I just basically go look down, and I look for those two issues. They're my two issues. Yours could be abortion. Yours could be whatever. So I recommend find your issue that matters to you. And I say I give myself a shot by putting more people in that care about the thing I care about, and I just have to go research and find out, are they talking about it? Is it something that they care about, and see what side they're on? Again, this is just a simple approach for those of us who
like
are liquid asset poor. I can admit that. Yeah, so it's a simple approach, but I know I'm not just voting for D's and all these, you know, and sometimes because some D's, they sign up to put you in jail too. You feel me? So I ain't voting for you.
Right.
And I want to add to that, man. That's stepping out, and that's what you call stepping outside of groupthink. You know what I'm saying? You found something that you're passionate about, and that's how you're gonna vote. And it's okay to be selfish with your vote for your own personal something that you're passionate about. We ain't gotta just join the group and go with the flow. So that's some good advice for the queen. But we appreciate you calling. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you all.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope you tune in. Are we Facebook friends?
I see all y'all on Facebook. I just scroll and pick and see who's talking.
Cool.
And I got a lot of information about what's going on in the background in the RBG and the conscious community, so I'm aware of a lot of stuff from the past 2 years. But I just check on everybody and see what the hot topics are and see everybody's opinions and views. So I just like to keep a – you know, just an open mind and not just
behind one set
of people or one group of people. But I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good night.
You too. Peace, Quinn.
All right. Peace.
Yeah, I think she might be our last one, man. So, yeah, they put us in the stick. They spit us away. We in the stitch of time. They must have liked what we was doing tonight, King.
Man, I sure appreciate it, brother, man. That's another one in the books, man. What's that, episode 3?
Yep, episode 3 in the books, King.
Man, you know I got an idea on episode 4, man, but, you know, I always sleep on it before I make that decision, man. I think it's going to be a hot one.
All right, sounds good.
I think we're going to tap into this hip-hop, man, see where it's taking us. Is it killing us or is it helping us or hurting us, man? You feel me?
Hey, always a beautiful topic. People feel all kind of ways about that one. We might have to do the whole hour and a half on that one. We did this one with about 10 minutes left, but good thing, man. I loved it. Let me know when you want to rock. We'll rock it out, as always. Thanks, King. Appreciate you being on the platform.
Man, appreciate you, brother. Appreciate the people calling in.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me throw this out
peace
before we go, because I want to say this out publicly. Last month, we added Trill Spill Radio, and episode 2 was the number one listened to show in July. So appreciate you, King, and I wanted to say that publicly for anybody out there.
Man, I appreciate you.
All right, King, we out.
Peace and black power.